1 Kings 17, you also find that the Lord Jesus himself refers to this event over in the book of Luke, chapter number 4. Now I'm going to read Luke, chapter number 4, two verses there, then go over to 1 Kings, chapter number 17. But in Luke, chapter number 4, let me find my place here. You got to bear up here to get the setting here to see what. Now, remember, Jesus, he's got baptized. He goes for a while. Then he comes home to Nazareth. Jesus is back in his hometown where he grew up as a boy. This is the scene, the situation here that we're looking at tonight. Jesus comes back to the place, and he had already proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was the Messiah. But not everybody believed him yet, not even his own family. And you come down to verse 24, and he said of Luke chapter 4, verse 24, and Jesus, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country."
Amen.
I got no preacher friend that says you got to drive at least 50 miles away from your home to be recognized. That's what Jesus said. Look at the truth there for a minute. His own family didn't believe him. John chapter 7, verse 3 tells you that. His own brothers and sisters didn't believe him until the resurrection from the dead.
That's right.
And they all became believers then.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't it amazing how it takes a resurrection experience to change one's life? And that's what it has to take. You say, "What do you mean, preacher? A resurrection experience. What once was dead is now alive. I once was dead, but thank God, now I'm alive in Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
And without Jesus Christ, I'd still be dead and lost in my sin and trespasses.
Yeah.
But thank God I'm not. I'm alive, I've been put in Christ. Didn't do nothing simply but believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Confess that with my heart. It came out of my mouth. I was born again at that moment. God puts you into the body of Christ. He does a whole lot of things for you, but you don't know that yet. I didn't know that I was eternally saved until I got in my Bible and found out. Of course, I found out the next morning at church, but I got in my Bible before I got back to church. I always make sure the preacher's telling you the truth from the Word of God, amen? Especially if you're listening to some radio or whatever. He said, "But I tell you the truth." He's in his hometown now. Many still don't believe on him. And he says this. He refers them to what they know in the Bible. And it just so happens that some of the religious elders were there in this meeting. Verse 25, he said, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel." Now remember, in that day, were in Israel in the days of Elijah. Now remember, those days, there was great famine and great drought. A dearth is when you don't have enough. You can get by, but it's not enough. But you can get by just as but a famine and a drought is when you got nothing. Remember that. And she's a widow. She's at the mercies of others' mercy. And she's got a son, and you'll see from the scripture, evidently, he's not able to go out on his own yet. Think about that now. And it said in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, isn't that amazing, 42 months? Isn't that amazing, that's half of the tribulation coming upon the earth?
Amen.
And when great famine was throughout all the land, Jesus said about this, "But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." And all the widows in the land, not even to the Jewish widows, but the Lord sent the man of God to a Gentile nation, to a widow woman.
Amen.
1 Kings 17 now. We get back here in 1 Kings 17. In the first part of chapter number 17 of Kings, you'll find out. What I want to look at is verse 9. Verse 9 is what got my attention for this message, this church. And you're here tonight, and the Lord wants you and me both to hear it. I'm just going to give you a brief outline, and I'm going to get out of here. Verse 9. 1 Kings 17. God tells Elijah. He just comes on the scene in verse 1. Remember, Elijah's that bold prophet. He's not afraid to go in front of kings.
That's right.
Because he's been hanging out with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
He's been hanging out with God in the wilderness. He's not afraid of Ahab. Look at what he said there in 17. Elijah Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." When you stand before the Lord, everything else just fades away.
Amen.
Amen.
It's like a good brother in this church says, when the Lord shows up, you ain't concerned about nothing else but Him. You can drive all the way across the country, fly halfway around the world, try to get away from the Lord, and get off the airplane or open the car door, and the Lord will meet you. Matter of fact, He's having mercy on you while you're running from Him.
Amen.
Talk to Jonah about that. Hey, man, praise God. He said here, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And then up here in verse 9, he said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, that's Sarepta, New Testament, and dwell there. That means live there now. All right. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. We know this story as Bible readers and churchgoers. God tells Elijah after the brook dries up, and I'm going to cover it because it's too good. After the brook dries up, God tells him to go here to Zarephath, Luke chapter 4, right here. And right there in verse 9, the Lord said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. In the same story, the same event, Elijah only knew what to do because he had got a word from the Lord.
Amen.
He had survived already for 40 days or more on what the raven had brought him.
Right.
And drinking from the brook Cherith. But the brook dried up. God said, I want you to go to Zarephath, for there I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And when Elijah gets up and goes, and when he sees this woman, whoever it was, God must have shined a light on her or something. But it's just like what happened to Ruth. Ruth went to the Bible said, and her hap, H-A-P, her hap was in the field of Boaz. She's in the right place at the right time. And Elijah comes walking up, Brother Ron, and she's out there. And Elijah says, hey, look at the story.
That's right.
What's the first thing he asked for? Was it a morsel to eat or drink of water? It was a morsel to eat, wasn't it? He's wanting bread, wasn't he? Remember, it's not rained in 3.5 years. And she says, I'm out here gathering 2 sticks, the cross. I'm out here gathering 2 sticks for me and my son because I've got just enough left and we're going to eat that and die.
That's right.
And Elijah says, fix me a cake first.
Yep.
She's out there thinking she's going to feed her and her son their very last meal on this planet. We're in a famine. There ain't no water. She got a little oil in a cruse and a handful of meal in a barrel. And they're going to eat that and die, Miss Paula. And she's looking for something from the Lord now because God had already commanded her. And how was she going to know? How was this woman going to know God was going to do what God said He's going to do? How did she know? A messenger. That messenger represented the Word of God coming to her. That messenger was Elijah. Everybody knew it was Elijah. Everybody knew he spoke for God. He wasn't afraid of the king. He'd talk to you. And when she saw the Word of God coming to her, she believed Him. And she started to go to make that cake, Brother Mike. And then, Brother Eddie, Elijah hollers out this, hey, and also, bring me a little water to drink. An even harder task. That water had to be put up, secured, watched over, protected, wherever it was at, because it hadn't rained through. Water was precious. You do without any. Our water went off for 4 hours up the house the other day. That water line blowed and it's working on the water line. 4 hours. It's amazing how dependent we are on a lot of things, ain't it? You know, and I was there studying, and I thought, boy, get me a cup of coffee. Went upstairs, you know, pulled the coffee thing out, got it ready. Went over to the faucet, no water. I forgot about the water being off. Just taking it for granted, you know. I believe for a lot of time we take a lot of things granted. But there she was looking, and the Word of God showed up in a messenger. And even challenged her to do the most difficult. And I'll close by saying this. We'll look at more of this next time. Everything that Elijah needed, everything that widow needed, God already knew about it before He sent the word to both of them. And because of their obedience, you know the rest of the story. The barrel of meal never went empty, and the oil cruse never went empty. It wasn't full every day. They had a daily portion every day. And let me close with this, and believe me with all my heart, I don't mean nothing in a negative way about it, but look at it this way, mathematically. She's got her and her son. And the word was, give the preacher one first. And because she gave the preacher one, God give her two back.
Amen.
Her and her son. She made the cake every day for the preacher and got back, and there was enough meal in there for her and her son both to eat. All obedience. And it sustained them. The Bible said, God said, I want you to go there and dwell there.
Dwell.
That means live there for a while.
Man.
And it sustained. God sustained them. What are you saying, preacher? Just be obedient. That's where we started out this morning in Sunday school. Just being obedient to the Lord. Here we are this coming Sunday morning and Sunday night, and Monday through Wednesday night, 7 o'clock each night, Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Here we are going to have a revival meeting. I hope and pray to God that your pastor gets revived. I'm telling you what, I hope and pray somebody in this church gets revived, because we need reviving in these last days. Every day of my life, Brother Ernie, I need the Lord. I need Him every day. I can plan on the best I can for the future, but today is the only day that I'm living right here, right now. And when tomorrow comes, the Lord will already be there. He knows my needs tomorrow. He knows. All I got to do is be obedient and do what He says. That's simple to do, ain't it? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name.